You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen?
We're going to whoop their
Have you got drama yet?
Sup, y'all? Welcome on into the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio. And as you can tell by the truncated version of this intro, we got a breaking news edition of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Let's go on over to that home daycare center. Get to Ryan Callahan, who will tell us why we are having a breaking news edition of this Go Vols 24/7 podcast.
Well, Wes, Tennessee has made another addition from the transfer portal. Wednesday, of course, was the final day for players to at least inform their schools that they are entering the transfer portal. But a guy who's been in the portal for a little while has been added and has announced he's headed to Tennessee. Gabe Judy Lally, a cornerback who spent this past year at BYU and previously played at Vanderbilt, making the rare switch from Vanderbilt to indirectly Tennessee with a year in between. And a pretty good experience pickup here in the secondary. People have been, of course, clamoring for some secondary help for Tennessee. You get a guy here with a lot of experience who started most of the games in his final year at Vanderbilt, and then was a starter for 10 out of 13 games, I believe, this past season at BYU, and had a pretty productive year there, and now decided he wanted to finish his career with not necessarily just a Power Five school, but a school where he felt like he could improve his visibility and notoriety and get a little more attention to get himself on the radar for a few more teams going into to the NFL draft, hopefully in a year or two. So he has two seasons of eligibility remaining, thanks to the COVID year and the 2019 season having redshirted that year. So or at least having the option of taking a redshirt since he played in four games that year. So a guy with a couple of years left who's got a lot of experience, and Tennessee addresses a position that I think most people would agree was one of their biggest needs in the secondary. They've got plenty of bodies on this roster who could play safety, even though they had some issues there last season. But I think knowing that they had some veterans at cornerback, but if there's a position they were going to be able to upgrade in the transfer portal, it was maybe corner. They weren't really able to do it last year. Now they're finally able to do that with the addition of Gabe Judy Lally.
And before we move on, just one quick heads up, and I want to say this on the front end. My voice is still not going to sound great on this episode of the podcast. If you can tell by the feed, obviously we didn't have as many episodes last week, and Ben hosted them, Ben McKee, our coworker. I have had a little bit of a pneumonia, and I'm fine, but my voice is not good. So that's why I wasn't able to talk. I just had to produce the podcast last week, and that's why my voice still sounds a little bit like it does today. So apologies for any coughs here and there. Apologies for sounding like this, but just wanted to mention that on the front end in case you're wondering why I sound the way that I do on this podcast. Ryan, looking at this young man, this has got to be one of the more fascinating career odysseys that I've seen, right? I don't know if it's quite the same as like Caleb Tremblay's or anything like that, because that 7-year odyssey was, you know, that was something else. But this young man starts his career at Vanderbilt, spends 3 years at Vanderbilt, graduates from Vanderbilt in 3 years, by the way. A Vanderbilt degree in 3 years is unbelievable. That is fantastic. That's a really, really sharp kid is what that is. Then spends 1 year at BYU and then comes to the University of Tennessee. You talk about three college campuses that I'm not sure could possibly be any different. That is fascinating to me.
Yeah, and that kind of that background kind of reflects what you read and what you hear about him as a player that he's going to bring to Tennessee's secondary. Obviously a very sharp kid, very savvy on the field, and a good athlete on top of that. And let's point this out on the front end. He's 6'2". Yeah. And he talking with him, he says that's legit. That's not a stretched listing that you sometimes see, that he really is around 6'2", pretty
that's
close
gotta
to
be,
that.
That's got to be what Julian Battles, by probably the last Tennessee corner who was that tall. Maybe Jason Allen was that tall.
Yeah, that actually stayed at cornerback. Yeah, that's probably true. You know, maybe some guys that moved to safety not long after they got to campus with that kind of height. But yeah, to be I think he said he's, you know, probably somewhere in the 6'1 3/4" or 6'1 7/8" range. But to be even that close to 6'2", that's pretty good size, and about 185. So clearly has shown it at two different schools that he can play cornerback at a high level. I believe I read that he was Pro Football Focus's second highest rated defensive player on BYU's team this season. So clearly a guy who performed well and just wanted to kind of test himself at a higher level again to finish his college career. But no doubt an impressive young man, and everything we've read about him certainly reflects that. He spent the past year, I don't know that he's finished it. I don't believe he has this quickly, but spent the past year at BYU pursuing his MBA at BYU's Marriott School of Business. Mm-hmm. So after graduating from Vanderbilt in 3 years, already doing that, and you wonder if he'll continue pursuing his MBA at Tennessee, which also obviously has a pretty good business school. So we'll see if he continues down that path. I would imagine he will. But an impressive guy with, you know, again, 2 years left. I see this as a pretty big bonus for Tennessee. You get a veteran with that kind of experience, and much like with Brew McCoy last year, if it works out pretty well and he has a really good year, he might have a chance to go pro, but there's a chance you're getting a 2 year guy out of this move. So a really nice pickup here. And also should point out that he had a lot of options in the transfer portal. He visited UCLA after going to Tennessee, visit another Power Five school as well. That's slipping my mind right now, but he did take 3 visits, including a quiet trip to Tennessee at the beginning of that 5-day transfer portal window for visits in early January. So this one's been in the works, you know, for quite some time, and just kind of kept it quiet until Thursday. So Tennessee getting a nice addition here that a lot of Power Five programs were pretty interested in. He said it really was a pretty lengthy list of programs that made contact with him at some point, and he knew what he was looking for. And Tennessee pretty quickly turned out to be the right fit, even though he's been on the other side of that Vanderbilt Tennessee rivalry before. He didn't show much hesitation to go that way and end up back in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, and you look at him as a player, and again, we've seen a little bit of him, not maybe a ton. You know, we do get a chance to watch a lot of West Coast football, because as people who work in the East Coast, that's sometimes some of the games we can actually watch. Like, I remember there's 3 or 4 times this season, I remember going back to a hotel room on the road, and you flip on the TV and there's BYU on in the hotel. So, you know, it's we've seen those guys play a little bit. And from what I remember about him, I'd be lying if I said it was a ton. But he's a guy who, he's not an absolute burner as a corner, but he doesn't have to be at 6'2". That gives you a little bit more leeway. You can press a little bit more. It gives you a better chance to get back in on plays because of the length to get in and get to the ball. It really helps kind of in the red zone in a lot of situations. And I think he's a capable tackler. I think he's a fairly tough kid. So this is a guy who, when you look at Tennessee's secondary last season, anyone who could come in and help would be someone you would want to take quickly, I would imagine.
Absolutely. We've seen, people have kind of asked as different names have popped up in the portal. You know, Jaheim Singletary from mm-hmm. Georgia was one that a lot of people asked about recently. Davis and Igbinosin from Ole Miss, the guy that Tennessee recruited quite a bit out of high school coming out of New Jersey. There have been some other guys that popped up in the portal, but Tennessee's kind of had this one in the works for long enough that there was never even any interest in going down this road. And part of it is you just got a guy that's as experienced and proven as Judy Lally that he can come in and you feel confident you're getting someone who can compete right away for a starting job. It'll be a much different looking cornerback room. I know that there are a lot of people thinking you're going to have a lot of guys back, and we'll see, especially after spring practice now, who sticks around in that group, because the cornerback room has felt a little bit too big to me anyway. It seems like some guys are going to have to leave there eventually. You know, whether it's Deshaun Rucker type, you know,
don't you say it.
I have no idea whether he's looking at leaving, but you just wonder based on the depth chart, you know, which guys, you know, maybe in his type of situation are going to feel like they can't play now or don't have as clear of a path to some playing time. And maybe someone makes a move this spring that changes the outlook. But, you know, Warren Burrell is back. Kamal Haddon hasn't entered the transfer portal. You've got a lot of veterans there at that position. Not a lot of guys who've played extremely high level football, but a lot of guys who have played, and you've got Danico Slaughter and Brandon Turnage. I mean, there's just a lot of bodies there. And then you bring in three freshmen who are really talented. I think in Jordan Matthews, Christian Conyer, and Ricky Gibson, and all those guys think they're going to be able to compete for early playing time. And now you throw in an experienced veteran and Gabe Judy Lally. It just feels like that position still could see some turnover after spring practice. And once they, you know, get him in there and go through practice this spring, after they had a skeleton crew last year at that position, yeah, just nobody to go through spring ball. And you had William Wright out there working with the ones and things like that. You're going to have a pretty big group there this spring, and there could be a lot of competition. So we'll see how things shake out once they get out there on the field, but they should have a much better idea of where everyone stands by the end of spring ball. And I think that's probably going to lead to some pretty natural attrition at some point. It just feels like there's too many guys there that someone's going to eventually feel like they're a little bit too blocked, especially now as you throw in a veteran that's going to fully expect to come in and, if not start, at least be right in the mix for a lot of playing time.
Yeah, I would expect the coaches to massage that situation very carefully during spring. I would expect to see a lot of movement in the depth chart on a day-to-day basis. I would expect coaches to pull out a lot of the old stops to try to see or try to make everyone feel like, hey, you know, everyone's got a chance here. We're still open. And then maybe once preseason camp started, maybe then you would start to see a little bit more solidity there with the numbers. My only concern would be, and it's not really a huge concern, it would just be, are you getting guys enough reps every day? Because if, or is anyone getting enough reps, or is it a situation where everyone is getting a little bit, but they're not really getting in rhythm? But then again, Tennessee goes so fast that maybe guys will still get plenty of reps. It's not like those receivers and quarterbacks are going to want to stop throwing the ball. I mean, they'll probably get all kinds of reps out there. So I think it's probably okay. It's just a matter of, you know, with a lot of guys there, you know, cornerbacks are always some of the biggest ego guys on the team. Not in a bad way. They need to have egos to play out there. But how will they handle that situation? I would imagine, you know, airdropping in a guy like Judy Lally here, I think he probably is mature enough to kind of be a steadying force in that room. And that could be a helpful situation when you got a lot of young guys who are going to want to play and a lot of egos there.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think a guy like Judy Lally brings in a certain type of maturity, you know, having been at two different schools, having gone into a similar situation, you would imagine at BYU last year, that he knows how to get along with people pretty well, and that people are going to respect his approach, and that he can maybe help make that less of an awkward situation, or less of a just tooth and nail battle every single day where people are, you know, holding grudges or whatever else might come up. So we'll see how they navigate that. But you're right, I think it's going to present some challenges, and they've probably got to do some different things on the practice field to be able to convince all those guys that they can still have a chance to play if they decide to stick around. And that's where this transfer portal window stuff gets really interesting. This is the first year, obviously, of the new transfer portal windows. Guys can leave pretty much any time still, from what I understand, as graduate transfers. But if you're a non-graduate transfer, now that this first 45-day window has passed, you now have a 15-day window, May 1st through May 15th, to enter the transfer portal, and that is it. You cannot go in there during August in camp if it's not shaping up well. You have to make a decision based on the best information you have in May if you plan to enter the transfer portal this year as a non-graduate transfer. So that they're going to have some guys with interesting decisions to make. So they're going to be trying to get as much information as they can on where they stand. But yeah, you would imagine that there's going to be some people looking around that room and saying, hey, there's four new bodies in here, and they all think they're going to play or have a chance to compete to play. This doesn't look good, or this looks a lot harder for me to get on the field. So, but for Tennessee, it's something they needed to do. Clearly, they needed to upgrade that room. They needed to bring in more length, more speed, more guys with just the kind of natural ability they've been lacking a lot of times in recent years at cornerback. And this is, I think, a pretty big step toward addressing that. 2 years ago, they kind of got what they could get at the time with Kamal Haddon and Brandon Turnage, and those were pretty good pickups, I think, under the circumstances. Yeah. Considering how dire the situation was last year, they really didn't get to add anybody at cornerback out of the transfer portal. Had a lot of guys coming back. It felt like they were able to sort of navigate that pretty well, but you certainly could have made a case for them to add someone last year, and they didn't. And now you bring in the bigger high school crop of guys and then you add some transfer portal help too. So it's overdue probably. It's definitely needed, and it should give Tennessee a much better outlook overall at cornerback going into this season. I'm fascinated to see how all this plays out. You know, I wonder what a guy like Warren Burrell is going to think of this move. You know, that we all kind of assumed he would be coming back, and knowing this staff's penchant for playing veterans that they trust, that he might slide right back into the starting lineup. You know, now who knows how this shakes out? It's going to be a really interesting competition for guys like that. So I think this actually could be a pretty fun spring to at least to assess what they have at that position and all the different bodies, and let those guys compete and see who comes along and see maybe who doesn't rise to the occasion and show that they're at least one of the main guys in the mix for playing time, because they've got some options now. But that I think they had to have some upgrades in talent, because that position obviously has just struggled for a couple of years now, and they've got to get better.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say before we go to break here, we're slightly overdue for one, is that when you talk about a situation like, if you add guys, will other guys want to leave? Will they not want to compete? My stance on that has been the same since I've been in this business, which is that if you have guys who don't want to compete, fine, there's the door. I know that might sound harsh, but if, and in some cases, a guy needs to leave because he's not going to get a chance to play, and guys should put themselves first. They should. You only get a certain amount of a time to play in college. You ought to be able to go somewhere where you feel like you want to play if that's what you want to do. I'm not knocking those guys. I'm just saying, if you have a competition and you got a lot of guys and you got guys who want to leave, well, they're probably not the guys who are going to win the competition anyway, because they're not going to fight for it. That they're not gonna, that it's not in their DNA to go in there and fight for it. They don't want to do that. So not a knock on them, but if you want to leave, go right ahead. That's, you know, Tennessee's doing just fine right now.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that, for sure. That but at the same time, you know, this news is coming out after the transfer portal window has closed. You know, you don't know how many people were aware of his visit within the program, at least how many people were aware of his visit a couple weeks ago, or that this addition was coming.
That is true. But
with this being announced after the transfer portal window is closed, you know, you wonder if it's going to rub someone the wrong way? You know, how's it going to be received in that room? It's certainly an interesting dynamic, but I do think Tennessee is a lot better at the cornerback position now, just with the addition of those three newcomers and then throwing in a veteran like Judy Lally, that you would, you know, again, I would be surprised if he's not at least a starter early in the season. You know, maybe we'll see how that competition shakes out. There are certainly other options where he may not be a guaranteed day one starter, but he's coming in fully expecting that he can be a day one starter. And he knows the thing you like about him is talking with him. He knows there's going to be competition. He knows that it's not going to be handed to him, because he's done this before. He did it at Vanderbilt, had to work his way up the chain. He knows he's got to compete for it, and he's coming in ready, and just like Brew McCoy was last year, and he thinks he's going to put himself out there on the field. But these other guys, they've got to be ready too, because it's a big year for all of these players. This situation is going to get some certainty about it one way or the other over the next few months, and whoever rises to the occasion is going to be the one, going to be the group of guys that plays at that position. But they've really improved that group quite a bit, I think, with this addition, and it's a nice pickup. You know, again, size, experience, a lot to like about this addition for Tennessee going into the portal and getting a guy that was, you know, again, coveted by a lot of Power Five schools, and that has the kind of size and experience he brings to the table.
Agreed. And there's a lot more to discuss about Tennessee. I think we've discussed mostly what we can about Gabe Judy Lally here, but there is a lot of other stuff, because as I said earlier, I was out a couple days, almost a week, not being able to talk. So there are some things that we have not been able to catch up on that we need to catch up on. Some transfer portal news for Tennessee, some guys that are heading to the exits or have already left, some guys that we'll see what's going on with them. Also, some 2023 recruiting stuff. Lots of other things that we need to hit on, and we will hit on those things. But before we do that, we're going to step away for just a second, pay some bills, listen to product services, in-house ads, etc. And then we'll be right back here on the GoVols 24/7 podcast. #ad.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the GoVols 24/7 podcast, brought to you by Whatever Products, Services, and In-House Ads. You just heard a moment ago during that commercial break, Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio. Ryan Callahan coming to you from across town there at his home daycare center, talking about transfer portal. Tennessee has added another commitment from Gabe Judy Lally, a cornerback who started his career at Vanderbilt, then went to BYU, and now will matriculate his way to Knoxville, Tennessee to play for the Vols. He's got 2 years of eligibility left. That's a big addition for Tennessee. Talked about him in the first segment. Going to talk about some other transfer/recruiting news here in the second segment with Ryan. Before we do that, though, just a quick request from our end, if you will. If you could take about a minute out of your day right now and go in there and rate and review and subscribe to this podcast, we really would appreciate it. If you're just listening on the website, there at govols247.com, nothing wrong with that. We love you. No wrong way to consume this podcast. What helps us out the most, though, is if you go in there, whether you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher, anywhere in the world you can cast a fine pod, you can find this GoVols 24/7 podcast. We do this for free. We're happy to do it. It's a labor of love. Very few complaints from our end, I should say. But what helps us out the most, please go in there, rate, review, and subscribe. And since we're doing this for free, I don't think it's too much to ask to go in there and do that. So please go rate, review, subscribe. Please tell your friends. Tell people you see out around town. Tell people you see at church. Tell people you see at games. Tell people you see at tailgates. Tell people you see out walking your dog. Anyone that you see hey, that's a Tennessee fan, just go up and tell them. Go up and tell them, hey, I like this podcast. You might like this podcast too. I've heard so many stories now, people telling me that they're doing this stuff. Really, they are. They're doing this stuff and they're telling me about it, and I love it. I think it's awesome. So if you're already doing that stuff, thank you. We love you. And if not,
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Ryan, back to business. As we know, the transfer portal door swings both ways. And Tennessee, as a lot of people were probably fearing, definitely did lose some players as too. Where do you think, how's this portal cycle been for Tennessee? What's going on there?
Well, they've added eight guys now with the addition of Gabe Judy Lally. And one more note on him that I should throw this in there. If you remember much about the 2020 Tennessee Vanderbilt game, and you're forgiven if you don't, because it was not a very memorable game aside from Tennessee. I believe that was the first game they played without Brent Cimaglia at kicker, and they had to get by with Toby Wilson in that game. And wasn't a very exciting game. I think Tennessee won pretty comfortably. But Gabe Judy, at the time, he was known as just Gabe Judy, had his first interception in that game. So he has an interception against Tennessee. He also started his college career or very early in his college career, I guess the second game maybe, went to Neyland Stadium with BYU, or I'm sorry, or has played at Neyland Stadium at Vanderbilt in 2019, I should say. I was thinking of Keenan Peely, who played earlier in his career at BYU.
And had a BS 15-yard penalty against him, against Tennessee in that game.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, but, when they called what was not a 15-yard penalty. He got flagged for no reason, but go on.
Yep. So Judy Lally has played in two games at Neyland Stadium or been there on the sideline at least for two games and played in the 2021 game quite a bit. So he had seen it all before and obviously familiar with the rivalry. So interesting that it's worked out that way and that he's now headed back to Tennessee to play on the other side of that one. But now that they've gotten eight guys, that really you look up and down the list and a lot of needs already have been addressed. You wouldn't say they're definitely not done by any stretch. I certainly wouldn't say that, especially with the new rules. We've covered this a lot of times, but remember there is no 25 signee limit. In the past, all scholarship transfer additions would have been handled the way a high school player signing with a school would. You counted toward that 25 limit. So if you only signed 15 guys in your class, that left room for 10 transfers. So it was pretty cut and dry how many you could add. Now it totally depends on who ends up leaving and how many spots you have under the 85 scholarship limit. So any further attrition, and Tennessee's not at 85 right now, to my understanding, they're still under, I believe, by a few spots, maybe at least a couple. So they, by that math, they obviously are going to have some spots to fill this spring after spring practice if they want to, and they still have some needs I think they would like to address. But I think they've done a good job. They've gotten the receiver help they needed with Dante Thornton. That was a huge pickup. A couple offensive linemen that they had to have, I think, and Andre Carrick and John Campbell. Got a much needed tight end in McAllen Castles. Defensive line help with Omar Norman Lott, the guy that I think Tennessee's really excited about what he can add as an interior pass rusher on the defensive line. You get the veteran linebacker in Keenan Peely. Obviously, Gabe Judy Lally at cornerback, and then let's not forget the kicker, Charles Campbell, that originally from Jackson, Tennessee, but spent the past few years as Indiana's primary kicker. So to get guys like that at all those different positions in December and January, and remember there was so much anxiety I think among Tennessee fans after last year. Why weren't they more aggressive in the portal and things?
They couldn't be.
No one. Yeah, they couldn't be last year, and if there was any concern about that early this year, we're clearly seeing now that that's not a concern. I heard people saying, I'm not sure Josh Heupel likes going to the transfer portal to add players. Well, he just added eight guys in December and January, so clearly that's not an issue. He took 10 that first year, kind of out of necessity. So I don't think they're going to ever build this roster through the transfer portal unless they just have no other options and just really strike out on a lot of guys in the high school ranks. Don't think that's going to be their primary way of building this thing out and continuing what they've gotten started already at Tennessee. I think they see the transfer portal as somewhere to supplement what you were mostly doing through high school players and developing those high school players and filling immediate needs for the most part in the transfer portal. So they're going to pick their spots. They're not going to add bodies just to add them. You don't want to end up with players that you regret taking later or players that mess up your chemistry, players that are red flags for one reason or another. You don't want to do that. So they're going to always be selective. They're going to make sure they're getting guys that they feel can help them and not just players who were basically a lot like what they already have. So they're still going to be careful about that, but they've clearly shown a willingness to add players out of the transfer portal when needed and when presented with an opportunity, and they're not done this year. So I think there's a good chance they add more help after spring practice, but you have to say they did a pretty good job. If this is it, and I would assume it is for now, for this winter haul, so to speak, I think they've done a pretty good job of addressing a lot of needs. And while they're not fully stocked up the way they would like to be roster wise at all those positions, they've touched on all the positions that they had to hit in some capacity this year.
Yeah, there are, you look across the board and you look at numbers at most positions and they're in a better situation than they have been, but there are still some positions where you look at it and go, could really use more depth there. I mean, I would think of tight end for one, and that would just be my opinion. And also I think at quarterback, We need to discuss this. I don't. It's so hard, Ryan, in this era. It's so hard to have more than one good quarterback on your roster, right? We know Tennessee's going to have more than one good quarterback on the roster next season. We know that if they stay healthy, you got Joe Milton, you got Nico Iamaleava. You're good there. But also, there was thought that maybe Taven Jackson would hang around and fight and try to compete. That's obviously not going to happen. He has gone to the portal. He has matriculated his way to Indiana, going back home. He's going to play for the Hoosiers. Good for him. I think he's got a chance to start there and be the man there in that offense. But that does hurt Tennessee a little bit. It's hard to keep multiple really good quarterbacks or good quarterback prospects, Ryan. But, you know, that puts you in a situation where you're a couple hits away from, you know, you're a couple hits away from being in a tough spot.
You are, and this, I think if you studied quarterback rooms around the country, you would see that there probably aren't a lot of situations really comparable to what kind of dilemma Tennessee is about to have. Because if you have a player of the stature of Nico Iamaleava, you're usually in Alabama, an Ohio State, a Georgia, someone like that, where it's a little bit easier to bring in guys behind them and for them to be willing to wait their turn or just to hope for a chance to play in a couple years, or if it doesn't work out with Iamaleava or whatever the case may be. Tennessee's in a different situation. They obviously are building on an 11-win season. They're able to sell championships and the chance to compete for championships at least, and not having to sell a hope and a vision for the future the way they have for most of the last 15 years. So they're in a much better spot, but I still don't know if this program has quite the clout just yet, where they can go out there and get another pretty decent quarterback and bring him in and convince him to sit essentially behind this five-star quarterback that, you know, with the rumored NIL deal and all that stuff that everybody knows is likely the quarterback of the future at Tennessee. So they're in an unusual, rare, difficult situation. To answer your question, I do think Tennessee is at least going to look at its options in the transfer portal. I think you have to.
Yes, you have to look. You're not doing your job if you don't look.
At the same time, I think they're going to be very careful about even the options that they explore very seriously, because you don't want to even risk bringing in a veteran that would rock the boat too much with Nico Iamaleava. I don't know if anyone would want that kind of situation, but if someone's interested in, say, coming in next year and competing with him for the starting job after Joe Milton leaves, that's a tough sell for Nico Iamaleava, who thinks he's the quarterback of the future. And on top of that, most guys aren't going to be very receptive to it. I just don't think it's going to be a very easy to sell situation, because not many people coming in behind Joe Milton. I mean, first of all, let's assume for a minute that they're only sacrificing 1 year. Not many guys are going to be willing to sacrifice 1 year and come in and sit behind Joe Milton and Nico Iamaleava and know that they're not going to play this year unless two guys in front of them get hurt, because that's how most people are going to look at that situation. So fair or not, that's, I think, the perception of it. And so that makes it a tough sell. And so then you're talking about a guy with multiple years left for it to be someone who's willing to come in, sit behind them for a year and wait their turn to at least compete. And then who can you really get? You know, who fits that description that's not looking to start somewhere, or not at least looking for an opportunity to go somewhere
player,
and start?
And is that player better than Gaston Moore?
Yeah. And sort that's, of. And so I think the next step in this is actually the internal step, where Tennessee's going to go into spring practice, and they are very familiar with Gaston Moore. Joey Halsley and Josh Heupel have worked with him since their time at UCF. They're going to take an even closer look at him, though. He was the backup for the bowl game. I think they kind of know for the most part what they have in him, but I think they really need to take an even closer look at him this spring and just see what they have, because they've never gone into a season thinking, okay, can this guy go into a game that might be meaningful and play for us and keep things afloat? Or do we need to find something better and more serviceable that's going to keep things on track if we get in a pinch like that? So obviously third string, a little bit more realistic to get into the game as opposed to fourth string. And he's pretty much always been a little bit lower on the depth chart than what he would be this year. So sure. I think Tennessee's got to see what they have in Gaston Moore. If they feel comfortable with Gaston Moore based on what they see this spring, honestly, I won't be shocked if they just call it a day and don't even look that much in the transfer portal, if at all. Because I think it's that tricky of a situation that they're not even holding out much hope, frankly, that they're going to be able to find someone. But if the right person is there, if it's a fit, if it's a veteran, someone who's willing to come in and essentially you know, maybe not even, maybe a guy who at this point has given up on the dream of playing in the NFL, just someone who's willing to be a career backup the rest of the way.
Or someone who wants to become a coach in the future.
Exactly.
And really looks at this Heupel offense and says, you know what, going in and learning this Heupel offense could really help me as a coach, because the best offense in FBS and FCS right now are offenses that are running this Tennessee offense, the Heupel offense.
Yeah, and that's what I was alluding to. Just guys who are not really anymore pursuing the player path to their careers and are looking at some other path and think they could benefit from a move to Tennessee, whether it's to be a coach or something else. So that's probably the type of player you'd have to find, or some other type of maybe project that you could sell as someone that's not really I don't know. It's a tough sell on both ends, because you've got to make sure you're not bringing in someone that's going to rock the boat with your current players. And you've also got to bring in someone that's willing to take the opportunity and who knows that they're stepping into a situation that's not really tailor-made for them to compete for a starting job anytime soon. So I think for those reasons, it's going to be tough for Tennessee to add anyone in the transfer portal. But I do think you probably got to at least keep an eye on the names out there and see what's available. There were people before the bowl game who wanted Tennessee to go out there and be active for some of the top quarterbacks in the transfer portal. Not sold on Joe Milton yet. Got to find the guy. I mean, anything short of punting on Joe Milton, and you can't do that. If you go get somebody that's got any kind of experience like that, you're essentially telling Joe Milton, we're not sold on you, and you've got to compete for your job again, and not just against Nico. So I just think everything, there's so many things that are complicated about adding someone that you just can't just say, hey, let's go get the best guy we can. And even if you could, you're probably not going to get that guy. So it's to me unlikely, but we'll see what they can find in the transfer portal and maybe elsewhere. Maybe this ends up being a situation where they can find a late project in the high school ranks or junior college or something else that's maybe a little more creative than what we're thinking right now.
Yeah, I put zero blame on Taven Jackson for doing this. I think he very clearly saw the writing on the wall. It wasn't hard to see, and a chance to go home and play, maybe start for a Big Ten team. I do not hold that against him whatsoever. However, it did kind of box Tennessee in a little bit in terms of, what the options are right now. So we will see. There's lots more. Obviously, we'll spend an entire offseason discussing Tennessee's quarterback situation. There will be more ebbs and flows and left turns and right turns and progress and problems and everything in between. And we will discuss all that. But for right now, before we get out of here, Ryan, in terms of 2023, this class, you know, we used to think of, obviously, the signing day used to be right there early February. Everyone got ready for it, fired up. This will be one of the busiest times of the year. Now it seems like it's a busy time of the year for like 24s and 25s and 26s and all that. Where is Tennessee with the 2023 class? It looks like there could have been some guys, and you've talked about this before. We've written about it. You've talked about it, but it looks to me like, I don't know if Tennessee is for sure done, but Tennessee might be done in this cycle. What do you think?
It's looking that way now because the one name we were kind of tracking going into this week, who actually was scheduled to take an official visit to Tennessee this weekend, defensive lineman Sua Lafotu, I believe I'm pronouncing that right, from California, a former Washington commitment who reopened his recruitment back in November, I believe. Tennessee offered him last month. I had some good conversations with him since then. Everything kind of was on track for him to visit this weekend. And then that sort of changed over the past week to 10 days, I think. Nebraska offered. He was pretty excited about the offer from that new staff there, Matt Rhule's staff. And now I think sort of maybe it's a mutual decision, but definitely on Tennessee's end, at the very least, I think the Vols have decided not to bring him in on that visit and just to kind of back off there and not worry about continuing to pursue him. So he kind of listed a group of finalists in a post on Twitter, and Tennessee's not even one of the eight logos on there. So I think it's pretty clear Tennessee has officially backed out of the Sua Lafotu sweepstakes, and they will not be adding him down the stretch. So we will see if any other names pop up here late, but right now, at least at this point, we can't rule out that Tennessee is done with this 2023 class. You know, again, they got up to 25 players in the class with Deshaun Bishop being added on early signing day. So it's not as though they're short on numbers. They're certainly not. And then the remaining spots they do have, you know, might be better used for the transfer portal to get some some additional pieces at, you know, tight end, as you mentioned, which I think they definitely would like to add another tight end in the transfer portal if they can find one there that they like. There's maybe even an argument to be made for a second wide receiver, although I'm not sure that's as likely. But that's something they
could
consider.
Definitely make an argument for that. You could definitely make an argument for that.
Well, with a, you know, one or two wide receiver class essentially in the 2023 class, assuming Cameron Seldon starts off at running back the way I expect him to, it's certainly not a stretch for me. But I do wonder about the logistics of that when you've got a room that's got some veterans who are fully expecting to play this year. Would be a tough sell for a Ramel Keaton to see them bring in a second transfer, for instance. So it would be a tiptoe kind of situation to add someone else there, but they could try. And then on defense, certainly a second defensive lineman would make some sense. I think an edge rusher. We saw them kick the tires on Taylor Upshaw of Michigan. He was actually going to come in on an official visit on Sunday and then canceled that visit and didn't end up visiting after he committed to Colorado during his official visit there last weekend. He kind of set his sights on Colorado pretty quickly after entering the transfer portal. But that was a guy who was a role player at Michigan, clearly wanted a chance to start. Don't know that Tennessee could have for sure given him that. He would have been at least a rotational player at Tennessee, I think, but they were interested. So I think they'll maybe look around after spring practice for someone similar who can give them a little bit of a veteran presence at edge rusher with losing Byron Young to the transfer portal. So we'll see, or to the NFL draft, I should say. So we'll see what else they add after spring practice, but I do think they will look to add some additional guys there. And yeah, there's a real chance, unless something unexpectedly pops up, that they're maybe done with the 2023 class as things stand. But hey, currently, it's a top 10 class. It's a really good class, obviously, that a lot of people have been excited about for a while. A lot of those guys have already gone through some bowl practices, 15 of them. A couple more will be on campus this month as early enrollees. Got a lot of transfers who will be here as early enrollees to start classes on Monday. So it's going to be a noticeably different looking roster even this spring. And a lot of people excited to see what these newcomers can add to this team immediately now that they've officially gotten on campus and are ready to get started with this 2023 team that's now looking to build on a pretty exciting season in year two under Josh Heupel.
Yeah. My final thought would be that when you look at it, I guess globally, you're looking at a Tennessee team that obviously without Hooker and Hyatt and Tillman and Byron Young and some other guys, it's going to look different, but you saw against Clemson, some of those concerns were, I think, soothed a little bit. And so you look at now what you've brought back, you're adding a top 10 signing class. And I think when you look at, and time will tell, but when you look at what left the portal for Tennessee and what Tennessee brought in through the portal, I think that was a net gain for Tennessee. So you're looking at a net gain from the portal, a top 10 class, and building on what you've got. So I think overall, nothing is ever perfect. Not even for like the Georgias of the world. Obviously, nothing is ever perfect. But I think Tennessee, when you look at the top 10 class, you look at the net portal gain, you look at what they're bringing back, I think the foundation, the structure of this program feels like it's gotten better and feels like it's in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, and like you said, considering all that they've lost, I think they've done a pretty good job of patching things up, that they've done their best to keep things on track offensively, where they're obviously going to have the most question marks with, you know, losing Darnell Wright and Hendon Hooker, Jalen Hyatt, Cedric Tillman, a lot to replace there on offense. They've done their best to kind of replace those guys, and we'll try to keep things moving this coming season. But they've done a nice job of patching things up, keeping a lot of guys here so far. That's maybe the biggest story to me out of this transfer portal window that just ended yesterday. Not a lot of guys that have left. I thought there might be a little more attrition, frankly, than what we've seen so far.
Still might be after spring camp. We don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, again, maybe some of this happens after the spring. That's a real possibility, at least at a couple positions. But it's something to again compliment the staff on, because people are wanting to stick around. They're enjoying being part of the program, enjoying being a part of the culture, and not many people are feeling that they have no path to playing time. So that's a tip of the cap to Tennessee staff, I think, for getting people to feel that way and to want to stick around even when they've not been playing clearly in some cases as much as they would want to play. So we'll see how much more of that there is this offseason, but they've done a pretty good job, and now it's time to go out there and spring practice in March and see what they have with some of these newcomers and some of these returning veterans like Joe Milton, obviously, who are now kind of stepping to the forefront and ready to take center stage.
Certainly a better couple months than it has been for certain programs, perhaps programs that rhyme with Florida, you could say.
Yep.
You could say that. Ryan, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it. And I know this is a super busy time. Not that recruiting's ever not busy, but this is obviously lots of moving parts and pieces, and I'm sure you'll be back on, you know, next week or hell, even sooner, and we'll have more to discuss about all this stuff. But thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Feel better, Wes.
There's that button. And now I can say thank you for listening to this edition of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. We always say that, but we always mean it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. You can find all of us on social media. I'm Wes Rucker 24/7 on Twitter. Ben McKee is Ben McKee 14 on Twitter. Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. And Patrick Brown is P Brown 24/7 on Twitter. And if you just want Tennessee news on Twitter, nothing else, you can get that at twitter.com/GoVols247. You can also go to facebook.com/GoVols247, where we update that throughout the day, all day, every day, mostly with Tennessee news, but also with news that we think Vols fans will find interesting. But if you want that best, most delicious East Tennessee Smoky Mountain spring water directly from the source, go get that at GoVols247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets for coverage of Tennessee football, football recruiting, basketball, basketball recruiting, Tennessee baseball. Nobody, and I mean nobody, covers Tennessee baseball the way that we do. Also, no one covers the Lady Vols that we do. The award-winning Maria Cornelius does an excellent job covering all things Lady Vols for us all season long. You can get all of that at GoVols247.com. You've also got access there to two forums that run around the clock. Got the Checkerboard and the Summit, where you can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and discuss anything you want that is not political or religious in nature with us, with thousands of Tennessee fans across the world, and with us who are on the staff. And no one has a more active board with the staff members than us. We are proud to be there all the time, answering any question that you've got, and you get all of that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month. That is all that it costs, and that's after a quick free trial. And once you pay us that reasonable rate, which is, again, less than one mediocre lunch per month, you get access in perpetuity to Paramount Plus, which is an excellent growing behemoth of a streaming arm there with us here at CBS, Paramount, Viacom, etc. You get every show CBS has ever made commercial free. You get new movies. You get classic movies that rotate in every single month. You also get just tons of original content, tons of great original Paramount Plus content. And you also get access to the vaults of Nickelodeon, Smithsonian, MTV, BET, Comedy Central, something for the entire family. All of that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month. That is so much stuff. So much stuff. That's a bunch of stuff. Less than one lunch a month. That's all that it costs. So go to GoVols247.com and do that. Take advantage of that. Tell your friends to go do that. Again, thank you for listening. You can always go subscribe to us on every content item, everywhere you can get a podcast. You can get this podcast. So please go do that. Thank you for listening again. And be kind to each other, guys. Just try to be kind to each other. There's just not nearly enough people in this world being kind to each other and having basic human empathy and dignity. Let's be better to each other. Let's be good. See you guys.
Baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.